He set by his word a great deal of store. He gave it, but kept it, no matter the chore. And so to his neighbors and friends untold, his word became precious, more precious than gold.
I'm the oldest living relative of Jack Daniel. I will be 91 years old in May.
I guess there's hardly a community in the country doesn't have at least one citizen at one time or another who would qualify as being a legend in his own time. Around Lynchburg, we always think of Mr. Tom Motlow that way. Mr. Tom was our town banker. He ran the Farmers Bank here all of his adult life, for about 67 years, actually. He was a modest man. You'd never hear him bragging on how he won the Phi Beta Kappa in college and classical literature, or how each year the top economist would interview him to get his forecast for the financial future of the country. No, Mr. Tom wasn't like it. He was, I could tell you story after story about Mr. Tom, but I don't guess I will. I think you'd much rather listen to him tell you himself.
I went to school at Klein School at Mulberry. I did a public school here. Then I went to Webb School at Bellbuckle. Graduated there and went from there to Vanderbilt. And 2 months before I graduated in 1901, I got a letter. And two young fellas had brother, one of his brother and one a cousin, wrote me, says, we bought the bank at Lynchburg yesterday, and look at you, cashier. You're the cashier now, full authority. Well, I had other preparations made. I had no idea, didn't know anything of banking. Only bank I'd ever had, I had a little $100 deposit perhaps in the bank. So I went out and I went down and talked to the head of Falls Business College, Dr. Alexander Fall. He says, well, you have 2 months before you graduate from Vanderbilt. You come down and I'll give you an hour. You give me an hour and I'll instruct you an hour every day. And in 2 months, I believe I can make a country banker out of you. And finally, the day I graduated in Vanderbilt, that morning, I was a valedictorian. I had that honor. Well, I went on there that night, got a certificate that afternoon from Dr. Alexander Fall. So I was a graduate of Webb School in Vanderbilt and a certificate from Falls Business College. I started home then the next day. That night then, there's something peculiar happened. Old man, great old banker, one of the greatest country bankers in the state of Tennessee, called Lem Potlow up and said, Lem, is that brother of yours going to the bank Monday morning? Lem said, yes. He said, you know what I'm going to do this Saturday night? I'm going to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, and I've got a good team, and I get down there at 8 o'clock. I want to eat breakfast with you. And I want to talk to that boy all day long. I said, you can listen in if you want to, but I'm going to talk to him. And 8 o'clock the next morning, Mr. Waldo came in. We ate breakfast. He went to talking. And all day long, except a half an hour at noon, he talked on banking. And that night at 6:30, he started home. He got about 200 yards up the road. He stopped. And he hollered back and says, oh, Tom, says, come up here. I want to talk one a little bit longer. And he said, there's one thing I forgot to tell you. If you want to ever buy money, you call New York, Man, Bill, and Ware, New York. I said, what do you mean by buying money, Mr. Wally? He said, you'll know exactly what you mean when the time comes. Goodbye, Tom. The last time I ever saw the old man. When he died, I went to his bed. I looked at him. I loved him as long as he lived. On November the 3rd, 1907, I went down to the bank. Telephone rang. Says, a telegram here for you. And our New York correspondent had a wire. The New York clearinghouse this morning passed a resolution there'd be no more cash paid till further notice. All's on a scrip basis. No more money that will be paid out because New York is on a panic. I happen to think of Man, Bill, and Ware. That is 6 years later. I called Man, Bill, and Ware up and said, you got plenty of money? They said, millions of dollars, any amount you want. They said, I said, what's the price? They said, $70 a thousand. We then paid in full. And we were the only bank that I knew of in Tennessee that paid every dollar. Paid every dollar. And the examiner came on later on when we had it. He said, who gave you permission to spend money that way? I said, it was the best advertisement a bank ever made in the world. And after that, the bank progressed rapidly for that reputation. J. Pierpont Morgan was a powerful man. And he started the biggest thing that was ever started in the history of the world, the United States Steel Corporation. That stock went up till I was in Chicago in 1929 in June, the top day of the boom. And they were selling that stock had gone from $40 to $260 a share. And I saw a little girl go in the broker's office, and I saw her buy 10 shy United States Steel stock for $260 and put up $150 margin. I went to the president, the biggest bank in between New York and California. I said, the big bankers of America have gone insane. I said, my friend, let me tell you, there's not going to be a panic this time. Now, in 1893, there was a panic, and 1907, there was a panic. But this is going to be a cataclysm. And they wouldn't listen. And one man says, who are you anyway? One of them. So I said, I've come from Lynchburg. Oh, very good town, Lynchburg, Virginia. No, I said, Lynchburg, Tennessee, 400. He says, what are you going on? I said, I'm going on horse sense. Horse sense. He says, horse sense? He says, do you sleep in a stable? I said, no, but I've got more sense than to loan $240 on United States Steel Corporation. I said, I'm going home. And I went and got my grip, and I went home and traveled all night long. I got here the next day, and I sold everything we had in the bank. Every negotiable thing we had, all the bonds, everything we had. United States Steel dropped. It did stop till it got out of $22.50 a share from $262.50. That trip was worth $100,000. But the most interesting thing, though, to me, when I went in the bank, I'd been there one day, and in walked a man named John Davis. John didn't know a thing in the world. He didn't know his alphabet, probably. But he'd lived out in the woods, and I knew him. And we'd go squirrel hunting and chestnut hunting. I'd go over there and we'd get him, and he knew where the squirrels were. And I loved him. He was a good old ignorant man and friendly. He walked in early in the morning. He says, Tom, are you here to this bank now? I says, John, I tell you, I don't know whether I'm head or foot. I'm in here. Well, he said, you know what I did? I came here 40 years ago. I never got over 75 cents a day in my life for a day's work. And when I come, I bought a little piece of land up here on the hillside, and I took my 40 years to pay for it, and yesterday I sold it. I got $1,500 cash from Mr. Lee Roten. He just reached in his pocket. His brother Buddy shoved it through. He says, take care of it. I said, John, hold on. That's mighty nice. I'll give you a receipt. He said, no. I don't want it in the paper. When I want my money, I'll come and get it, Tom. It'll be there, too. He just turned and went out the door. I went back and I said to Sage, I says, the object of my life in this bank is going to be to pay John Davis and men like that to trust me, if it takes my life. And ever since then, my whole idea has been solvency and no disappointment. And it has been wonderful.
More precious than gold.